There were remarkable scenes over the weekend from Ukraine's Kherson region, people who'd lived for more than 8 months under Russian occupation greeting Ukrainian soldiers and celebrating in the streets after the Russians were forced to retreat. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky paid a surprise visit to the liberated city today as workers try to restore basics such as power, water, and phone services. For more on the story, we turn to NPR's Frank Langfitt, who was with Ukrainian troops in the Kherson region earlier this fall. He's been on the phone with soldiers who fought to liberate their homes there. Frank, welcome back to Here and Now.
Hey, great to be here, Eric.
Frank, really an extraordinary development in the war, perhaps Ukraine's biggest success so far in pushing back Russian troops. What have you been hearing?
Well, I've been in touch with some of these soldiers, as you were saying, and one of them is a guy named Colonel Roman Kostenko. I first met him actually back in April. He is from Kherson, a small village. The Russians came in, not only took the village, but they also lived in his house. And on Friday, he was able to actually go home for the first time, and he sent me this video in which he walks into his front yard. He sees this broken window. He wipes away the tears, and then he goes inside, and almost everything's gone. The Russians have taken his body armor, his medals. They've just left a grenade. But he's got this flag, and at the end, it's flying from a trellis in his front yard. And when I talked to him this weekend, he just said he was really proud to be back in his house.
Yeah, really, really a bittersweet scene there where he's going into his liberated village, but it's, you know, also destroyed. And you see people weeping, and it's extraordinary. Frank, the city's struggling to restore some basic services, but there seems to be a real sense of optimism despite the real heavy toll on civilians and soldiers. What other stories are you hearing from people there?
There's another guy that I know, a recon officer who goes by the battle nickname Fox. And for him, it was also kind of an extraordinary journey. He left the day of the invasion from Kherson City. He was actually a seaman who worked on a cargo ship out of the port there. He flees, and then he joins the army, becomes a drone operator, and actually helps target those HIMAR rockets from the Americans that have proved so effective. Well, he returns to his neighborhood over the weekend, and he gets this hero's welcome, especially because he actually hadn't told any of his neighbors that he had actually joined the army.
They was completely surprised, of course. I didn't tell them because it can make some problem because they wasn't occupied territory.
He didn't want the Russians, of course, to take vengeance on them because he was a soldier. And he said of this homecoming, it was one of the happiest moments of his entire life.
Happy moments, but we are told city residents can hear the thud, thud, thud of artillery fairly nearby. So the fighting in the Kherson region is clearly not over. What more do we know about the Russian retreat, Frank?
Well, you know, a vast majority of the Russians fled across the east bank of the Dnieper River, and this was to avoid being annihilated from the Ukrainians who had really cut off their supply lines. But Ukrainians are still concerned that there are Russians in Ukrainian-controlled territory. They're hunting for them now. But overall, as you said, this is one of the biggest setbacks of the war for the Russians.
Frank, you've been learning some more about the Russian-installed deputy governor of Kherson, who recently died apparently in a car crash. Who was he and what was his role in Kherson?
Yeah, I kind of found him fascinating. His name is Kirill Stramusov, and he was a civic activist, a pro-Russian blogger. And I think early on in his career, I talked to people who had worked with him as well as Ukrainian intelligence. And he was kind of a political gadfly, but he did do some good things for people. He, you know, would help them when the local officials wouldn't put out enough salt and get rid of the snow and also expose local businesses who wouldn't get permits for buildings. But some of his associates told me that he became kind of a shakedown artist and he was extorting money from businessmen. And then they think the Russians recruited him well before the invasion. What was really striking, Eric, is they made him a spokesman for the occupation and he did these tons of videos predicting the Russian victory, things like that, saying Kherson was a part of Russia. Some of it pretty odd stuff. This is something that he put out in which he sort of wrote a poem and performed it to music. Let's take a listen. And what he has is there are images of cities like Prague and Budapest, and he says, you know, all of this is going to become Russia. And it was very strange. It was also very strange in some ways that the Russians would use somebody like this who was a marginal figure to be their public face.
Wow. I mean, that video, just watching it, I mean, it's just this bizarre sort of ultra-nationalist fantasy. I mean, it's incredible.
And I think people there saw him as a bit of a buffoon. But the insights that I got were kind of interesting. People who'd worked with him and knew Kherson said he was a part of a really corrupt culture there, and that actually made it easier for the Russians to infiltrate.
Frank, it's alleged he was killed in a car crash. Is there any reason to believe it was anything other than a car crash?
I don't think so. Again, I've been in touch with the Ukrainian intelligence, and they were surprised by it, so they weren't behind it. It is a dangerous place to drive. It's in the middle of war, and there were video of his vehicle on its top. But there's been no direct allegations that he was assassinated.
Frank, looking ahead, well, what's next for Kherson and really for the war more broadly after this victory for Ukraine?
Well, I think for Kherson, it's restoring all those things that you were saying. But the real challenge for them is with the Russians just on the other side of the river, they're in artillery range. Mm-hmm. So I think they're very anxious that they're going to get hammered by the Russians, who now have a river to protect themselves. And in the longer run, I think we're heading into winter. It is hard to fight in the winter. It's very muddy down there, Eric. And so things will probably slow. So the kinds of tremendous advances we've seen up in Kharkiv and now in Kherson, probably not going to be able to see those kinds of advances by the Ukrainians in the coming winter months.
It's NPR's Frank Langford in London. Frank, as always, thank you.
Hey, great to talk, Eric.